This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
There was a story in the newspaper yesterday about a mum who was just didn't know really what to do. Her son was staying up to 25 hours at a time playing RuneScape, just completely addicted to a game, ran away from home at one point and was going to internet cafes and just playing all day, wasn't washing, wasn't eating properly. Really quite a serious problem. And it brings up the idea of net addiction. Is it a mental disorder? Should it be a classed as one? Should it be added to the manual for psychologists and psychiatrists at DSM or whatever it is? Maris knows all that stuff. He's our psychologist. He's on the phone. Good morning to you, Maris.
Good morning, Aaron and Erin, everyone in Hopeland.
Now, I think Hopeland needs a little song.
It does.
we could work on that.
We could. Well, yeah, like internet addiction, but actually calling it a disorder. What are your thoughts about this?
I'm really interested by this because most of my time during the week is spent with people managing dependency, so drug and alcohol dependency, gambling issues, and a few other things. And so this is a particularly 21st century phenomenon, the idea that, you know, that internet and internet gaming could actually become a disorder. I think there's some pros and cons as to whether that would have any value or whether that's going to benefit our understanding of that particular type of behaviour, or whether it might actually be better to just understand it as a type of behavioural dependence. And this is a really common argument that's actually held and had a lot about gambling and in particular poker machine gambling, as to whether that's actually a disorder or whether that's just a pattern of behavioural dependence. So people become dependent upon particular types of behaviour patterns, and so repeat them and often get themselves, you know, and at the end of the day, often get themselves into a fair bit of difficulty because of that. So this is very, very similar for me to the discussion of whether gambling is a disorder or whether it's a pattern of behaviours and then, you know, just what we can do about it. So yeah, it's quite interesting, I think.
So I guess from what you're saying is you don't become addicted overnight. You know, it's something that it's obviously once you get into that cycle that you can then become addicted. But I guess it's that fine line between it actually then becoming a disorder. In the case of this this story, which has kind of opened up this topic, the son was playing a game called RuneScape. Is that right, Aaron? Mm. And I'm not quite sure about this game, but I understand it's a fantasy game. So I can imagine he was kind of escaping to another world, so to speak. Is there something in that as well?
Oh, most definitely. And thinking about this, and I don't know a lot about that particular game either. Internet gaming isn't particularly a hugely exciting thing for me. But we're looking and knowing what I do know about some of the games, World of Warcraft, and knowing some people that do actually play that. For me, this particular phenomenon actually has some of the hallmarks of dependence. So often we find that people can become more easily dependent on certain activities or behaviours when they may be lacking control or the ability to be the driver in their own world. And so some of the behaviours then become a way of regaining some of that control. And so, you know, in internet gaming situations where virtual worlds are created, where you can create your own avatar and sometimes actually, you know, create your own online personality, that can actually be something which is particularly rewarding for players. And remember, all dependencies actually tap into our inbuilt mechanisms and the way that our brains are actually geared towards learning for all of our life. And so if we find ourselves in a situation where our lives are a difficult place for us for whatever reason, and then we stumble upon something which makes us feel good, which actually gives us some of that control back, or gives us a sense of esteem or a sense of feeling good about, you know, who we are, and makes us feel good, then it's inherently quite gratifying. We're more likely to repeat it. The other thing about this particular type of gaming is that they're often quite adrenaline-filled games, and so there is a bit of a buzz that people, there's a sense of accomplishment, there's a sense of challenge, there's a sense of reward, and so all of these things tap into some really, really deep neural pathways for us and often mean that we're more likely to repeat that particular type of behaviour. Mm. And then the other standard, and I think they're, you know, reading up on this story and looking at the idea of either gaming dependence or internet dependence, and they're very much the same kind of process whereby we judge all dependencies, where, you know, if the behavior starts to actually become the structure that we structure our days and our lives, then we're more likely to be kind of repeating it. If we start to withdraw from social support, and I guess both with the internet now and social media and with online gaming, we may actually withdraw from real world social support and then replace that with online social networking and activity. And so that can keep us then more likely to stay in that world and continuing along that. If we build up a tolerance, if we're able to play the game for longer or sit for longer, or we get more involved, if we start to use the particular behavior, whether it be the internet, whether it be social media, or whether it be the game, to actually start to regulate our emotions. So we gravitate towards these activities when we're not feeling really good, and then we learn that it works, and so we repeat it. If we start to do it in secret, if we start to withdraw from other activities that help keep us buoyant and rely more and more on one particular behavior, this is the progression where people often get themselves into difficulty with any dependency. Mm. And I particularly like this model of dependency because it can be applied to any behavior or any substance. And so it kind of makes sense that this type of behavior can be just as dependence building or addictive as other, more traditional 20th century dependencies like drugs, alcohol, and everything else.
There was a follow-up article to this original story, and the follow-up was kind of talking about comments that they received about it. And one father was kind of talking about how his 8-year-old daughter was spending about 80% of her summer holiday playing PlayStation, but also to the point where she was actually hiding the family iPad so she could actually play games during the night when everyone else was asleep, and she wouldn't be, showing up to meals and things like that. I mean, I don't know. I read that and I kind of think, well, whose fault is that? Is that the kids or is that the adult not putting in kind of screen time boundaries?
Well, I mean, I guess it's something that, no kids come with instruction manual. and that actually sounds very, very familiar, because that's often, we do a lot of work with families, and that's often their experience when their loved one has a drug and alcohol dependency, similar types of secrecy behavior and certain types of manipulation are often associated with that. I mean, I think when it comes to the root cause and who's to blame and things like that, I guess it is, it's a very complex phenomena. And so it does involve things like, managing and spotting some of the early signs and being able to intervene as early as possible. And so there's a lot of things that parents and families can do. But then it also, and depending on the age of the individual, then there is also, some individual responsibility that needs to be taken and things that individuals will actually have to address and look at for themselves in order to kind of break some of these chains and cycles. So it's quite complex. And I mean, I guess one thing that I'm very wary of is when we do a lot of work with families in the drug and alcohol sector, then families feeling blamed or in some way responsible is actually one of those things which can increase the burden on the family members themselves, the parents, the partners and loved ones, and actually lead to, interestingly and often sadly, an increase in the incidence of disorders and things like depression and anxiety for the whole family. Mm. Which kind of then, and most dependencies unfortunately have this ability of taking whole social systems and putting a lot of pressure on them, and then everybody in that suffers as a result of that. And so this is some pretty complex stuff we're talking about. Again, given that we're talking about online gaming and the internet, really unique and a big thing that we're going to have to look at in the 21st century, I think.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.